Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger. Is that your read on this situation, Dregs, that Bill Guerin and the Wild are just so screwed because of those buyouts that they just have to dump players effectively?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's 100% cap related, and it's harsh. But, you know, there is a hockey element to this, and the hockey element is, you know, remember to the early days of Kevin Fiala, not that long ago, where he was in the doghouse with Dean Evason, didn't seem like he was going to get out, and then they found a way to coexist, a little tough love, maybe. Fiala learned, and he flourished, absolutely flourished. So, you know, I'm looking at the Minnesota Wild and Billy Guerin, and I'm looking at some of the holes that they have in the lineup and some of the guys that they want to dig down and keep. They would love to have Cam Talbot and Marc-Andre Fleury together as a tandem again. You know, what does the Fleury deal look like? You know, it's going to be short term just based on where Fleury is. But they've got to wrestle with that, you know, and there's no certainty that Marc-Andre Fleury wants to come back to Minnesota, even though he will acknowledge that he enjoyed his time there and felt like he was needed and felt like there was further opportunity. Jake Middleton is another piece that Bill Guerin and the Minnesota Wild acquired that they've got to deal with. You know, Middleton is a real nice add. He's a depth guy defensively, but he can play up a little bit, high character individual. You're looking at a three-year term, probably just north of $2 million. Doesn't sound like a lot, you know, when you're looking at pieces like that. But when you're scrapped because of the cap penalties that you're paying for Suter and Parise, those are the decisions that become bigger decisions and encourage you to move a real important and productive piece like Kevin Fiala.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big deal he gets immediately, right? Like 7 years at $7.9 million. The stats, like you were pointing out, Noodles, would indicate that's the value, yeah. And if LA wants to go get him. But that kind of feels like a deal that's projecting the cap to be going up, Dregs.
Yeah.
In a couple of years. And what does it do for other value contracts around the league? You know, where guys are good players and they're on good deals, and maybe those are worth that much more now when you consider what Fiala just got paid.
Right, could be, Brian. And I, you know, I haven't seen the breakdown year by year. I don't know if it's been posted yet. But I'd be curious on that, and I'm going to be really curious on the structure of some of the deals that we're going to see this summer in free agency. The commissioner's office has done a real good job in continuing to advise NHL clubs of what their belief is and how the cap is going to escalate and, you know, when the players will have paid back into the system so the escrow can start coming down. And the player agents are, as designed, going to likely try and take advantage of that, right? Like, why would you front-load big, heavy contracts if you're thinking that, you know, the player share is going to get paid back within the next 3-4 years, whatever that timeline is, and you're paying less in the escrow. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what the structure of some of these contracts looks like, but it also does speak to the health of the league with the salary cap undoubtedly going up and, you know, how that's going to afford certain teams, players, player agents, et cetera, opportunity to try and take advantage of it.
Dregs, we had a pretty good debate about goaltenders in the 4 o'clock hour, just basically talking about the marketplace. And, you know, obviously it's a hot-button topic here in Toronto. I think it's a hot-button topic in Edmonton. I was on Edmonton Radio this morning. You know, throughout the league. Do you sense that this is, you know, maybe a more – I know goaltending is always focused on, but maybe this summer a little bit more just based on – either the availability of guys and maybe the market being not as sexy on paper?
No question about that. I had a couple of player agents independently tell me yesterday that they've had conversations with Players Association over the last few years projecting that the goalie market was softening, that it was going to get to a place that was going to be concerning. Is it there now? I don't know, Noodle, if you tell me. I look at the goalie market now, and I don't see a lot that would, you know, get my blood or my heart beating at a faster pace, given what's going to be available on the open market. I mean, we can look at Jack Campbell, obviously. You can look at Billy Huso, who, you know, the St. Louis Blues would like to keep. They would like to keep him. Question is, can they afford both Billy Huso and Jordan Bennington? And then you look at Edmonton's situation. Well, Edmonton has interest in Huso, but what's Mike Smith going to do? You know, is Mike Smith going to opt out and retire, spend time with his family? Then what does Edmonton do if Huso signs, and on and on and on it goes? The market is weak for goaltenders as far as NHL teams are concerned, especially those who are interested in change or interested in upgrade. You know, I keep hearing about, you know, the Maple Leafs and just willingness to be patient and not necessarily fully engaged with Jack Campbell. I'm not so sure that's the smart approach here. You know, if Jack Campbell isn't Toronto's guy, you know, quote unquote, then who is? And how do you acquire that guy unless you're willing to one more time overpay? And I, you know, I use Toronto because we're talking a Toronto market here, but you could say that about Edmonton. You could say that potentially about Las Vegas, and you could say that about a lot of other teams. The goalie market is not a strong one this year.
Well, Dregs, you said that the PA, I guess, was concerned about the goaltending market softening. What do you mean by that? Like, not enough good goalies available, or?
I want to hang this on the PA, Brian. It was more of a conversation that player agents raised with the Players Association. There's nothing the PA can do about it. I mean, goalies are either developing and they're drafted and they develop into good NHL goalies or they don't. It's just, I think that collectively the hockey world could forecast that maybe this was coming, and I don't know that it's crisis. Again, I look around the NHL, and I'm not going to lie, 2 years ago I didn't know who Billy Huso was. I didn't, and now we're talking about him as, how old is he, 26, 27?
Yeah,
you know, and here's a guy that's in a perfect position to get the contract that, you know, I guess he deserves. You know, I mean, based on play. But if you're in a strong goalie market, even though Billy Huso's coming off a good year with the St. Louis Blues, does he have the same type of leverage that he has right now? And I think the hard answer to that is no. How could he? So that maybe speaks to the conversation the agents were having with the Players Association, as opposed to maybe I worded it improperly in saying that the PA had concerns. It's just a reality of how agents were projecting where we were getting to at this point.
Well, right. Guys, I wonder if it's the price point, because like you've got those three guys at the top that are making like $10.5 million.
Yeah.
And then it's like there's a big drop, and then it's like John Gibson at 6'4". And it doesn't seem like any team is ever, I mean, maybe not ever, but like a team is not going to pay more than 6 or 6.5 for a goalie in the foreseeable future. Dregs, you think that's maybe it?
Yeah, I think that's it, Jonas. I do. And, you know, it's interesting you throw John Gibson's name into that mix just in terms of virtue of salary. And there's been enough trade speculation around John Gibson. That's kind of faded of late, and it should, because he doesn't seem to want to move, and I don't think Anaheim has any interest in moving him. But because of his price point, if Pat Verbeek were ever to consider moving Gibson, then I think the market would swell in a hurry. But because of the quality of goaltender he is and where his price point is. And when you look at some of the other goalies that are entering the market now in terms of the free agent market, and Jack is in that category, Jack Campbell, that's the problem that Toronto, I think, has and other teams might have. But if Campbell goes to open market, you know, is he going to get $6 million? He probably will get $6 million. Oh, he probably will. Yeah.
Well,
wow. That's
if
a
he
big
does,
ticket.
Yeah, good for him, though, right? Like, you got to strike when the iron's hot. And if they're, I think a lot of the luck that comes with being a free agent at that position is if there's no other options, then someone's really going to pay you. Because there are going to be teams really desperate.
Jonas, I think you make a great point about, you know, the marketplace. There's superstars at 10.5. At $10 million and Vasilevsky at $9.5 million. And then, like, Hellebuck won the Vezina a couple years ago. He's at, like, 6.5 5'6", 4".
Yeah, Markstrom got 6.
Markstrom got 6. And yeah. Those guys are stud starting goaltenders. Yeah. Demko signed the extension with a 5 in it, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's a fantastic goaltender. It's interesting what teams value are willing to pay. I always say this. You only notice goaltending when you don't have it. If you have it, you take it for granted. If you don't have goaltending, believe me, how many of these teams are like, man, we need a save. We need this and that. So I think it'll be very hot this summer as far as musical chairs, because if Billy Husso goes somewhere and all of a sudden Darcy Kemper goes somewhere, or Marc-Andre Fleury maybe, you know, is the first guy. I would love to see Fleury go to Colorado. I just think that would be a fit for some reason in my mind. Mm-hmm. But if that happens, then I think all hell's going to break loose, because you don't want to be the last team just fishing around and you know, picking at. And I'll say this. I was at the, you know, I was a scrap. I was a guy, you know, on that second and third wave got signed. So I know what the market and how quickly it can change.
Right. But so let's again bring it back into the Toronto Maple Leafs discussion here. Where are they at? Like, if they're playing the game of chicken with Jack Campbell, which they might be, you know, and that's fair game. I'm not saying that you overpay Jack Campbell. I don't know what the magic number is on him, but maybe their game of chicken is hoping that, you know, the market isn't nearly as strong as Campbell and Kurt Overhart are counting on it being, and the pull to stay with Toronto is strong enough for him, given what he's invested to this point, that he takes a lower number. But beyond that, what if he doesn't? You know, then what? Well, where are the Leafs going? You know, we can speculate on, maybe they try and trade for Barlamov, or maybe they do this, or maybe they do that. Well, they don't, you know, at least St. Louis has Jordan Binnington, and they're trying to re-sign Billy Husso. At least Minnesota has Cam Talbot, and they're trying to keep Marc-Andre Fleury as part of the tandem. What do the Leafs have? Well, okay. And how'd that work out for him last year, you know?
Right.
Well, he's going to bounce back, right? He's not going to be that bad again, right? Like, he'll be like,
are you sure?
He's going to, I think, I don't know.
I think the biggest thing is health, Jonas. It's health. Yeah. That's the thing. The guy's
never healthy.
I think that's the thing that you start to look at. I believe coming into the Leaf contract, he had played like 26 games in like two calendar years. Like he hadn't been healthy. And then injured and nicked up, and then we saw what happened. We don't know what Peter Mrazek's capable of in a Maple Leaf uniform, because he wasn't able to consistently play for them.
Well, and I get it, and I agree with everything you said, and I am not, you know, beating down Peter Mrazek, but how do you go into the off season and a gambling year, and everything's a gamble. It's a gamble if you try and re-sign Jack Campbell. It's a gamble if you try and trade for a goalie. But if your gamble is Peter Mrazek getting healthy and you don't have Jack Campbell signed, and now you're giving up more assets than you're comfortable giving up in a trade for a goalie that you're not sure is better than what you have, that's a tough spot for a team that everyone is expecting has to challenge next year. If they don't, then the guys making the decisions that we're talking about here won't be around to make the decisions. It's that simple.
Well, that's the reputation of Dubas, and one that he has promoted, that he's patient. And I remember him saying I asked him, what's the one thing you learned from Lou? And he's told it to everyone. Well, Lou always told me, if you have time, take it. If you can be patient, take it. But has that patience helped him at any point in the negotiations of the big three? Did it help? I don't think it did. The negotiations of looking ahead to maybe trying to get Hyman locked up before he had a year, Campbell locked up before he had a year. Like, it can go either way. I'm sure there are examples of guys that they said, you know what, I don't want to give you the money, and then it worked out that way. We just don't necessarily know the details on that. But, like, this is a scenario where, and I don't know what the contract was looking like last year. I don't know if Campbell's camp was even interested in talking. I don't know. I don't have the access to that info.
Sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just finishing my thought here, Dregs. Like, what if last year he was willing to take, you know, 4 years at $4 million?
But
he said, no, I'm going to wait.
You were willing to do that midway through last year?
I'm not saying midway through the year. I'm saying last summer.
You know, when like he played 20 games for you?
Well, now they're in a position where they probably want to take it now, and he's played more. Go ahead, guys.
I don't know the specific numbers. I think they were much higher than that. I don't think that the numbers that Campbell was seeking at early points of conversation were anything that Toronto was willing to do yet. And they wanted to see how the season was going to progress. That's why, you know, people are careful. You know, people who are in the know, both from the Maple Leaf side and player side, it's a game of semantics, right? And we've seen the reporting and we've done the reporting on, well, there really hasn't been much back and forth between the Campbell camp and they're not exchanging numbers yet. This is, what, a week ago we saw all of that? Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that. That dates you back to the end of the season. So they haven't had any meaningful discussion or they're not swapping the parameters of what an extension looks like in the end of the season to maybe now. But there were numbers that were swapped early in the season and before the season that Toronto didn't like. Just plain and simple. And I don't think it was 4 times 4. You know, and I know you're, Brian, you're just throwing numbers out
there. I'm just throwing
out
numbers, whatever it would have been.
Yeah, I think they were higher than that. I would argue
Campbell's probably asking for more than he would have been last summer. That would be my guess. Is that he's got more leverage today than he would have last summer.
But I'm not sure he's asking for anything yet. I think that if I'm Kurt Overhart and I'm Jack Campbell, I'm waiting for Kyle Dubas. Like, Jack Campbell's a pending unrestricted free agent, right? He, you know, he can test the market on July 13th. It's up to Dubas and the Maple Leafs to present a reason for him not to test the open market.
Right.
And as of last several days, that hadn't been the case. Maybe that changes. You know, maybe it does.
Or maybe they've decided to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
But
maybe, Jonas, but where is that?
I don't know. Maybe there should just be a wheel and every team just has to spin it. And then you just go, you get Husso, and you get Kempfer. And
that would be awesome.
A pretty good show.
It's the same thing. Like, you're really just rolling the dice.
Yeah, but what if you end up with Noodles?
Well, that's not good.
Noodles might be able to give me 905 for a year, right?
Stay suspended, can't touch my toes, 50 years old. It's not good. It's not good.
Dregs, I did have just one non-goalie question for you. What is the market going to be like for Kadri? I think he's like such a fascinating free agent.
Oh,
like his age, his style of play, everything. Like, what do you think it looks like?
Yeah, it's tough to put a number on it, Jonas. I mean, multiple teams, obviously. This is his big contract. So you're age sensitive and you're term sensitive. I think there's a decent chance that Colorado is going to do what they can do to try and keep him. I do. I'm not saying that he's staying in Colorado. You know, I mean, there has to be a number and there has to be a negotiation. And I'm really reluctant to throw what that number is because I'm not exactly sure, to be fair. You know, we're doing insider trading tomorrow, and I'm hoping to button down a better parameter on what that looks like. But I can tell by the buzz and the interest around Kadri, it's going to be healthy. And so if Colorado is the team, if they're able to make it work, it's going to be a challenge for them. It's going to come at the expense of others. But Naz is also at a point with his family here where the fit has to be right. And the fit is right in Colorado. So if it's not Colorado because the business side of it just can't work, then he's going to be really, really selective of where he goes.
Yeah, the big guys are going to take up a lot of the oxygen on July 13th, as they should. Right, as they should, but there's more to go in. Like, even with the Leafs, you know, Spez is gone. I don't know if Simmons is an option to play every night. There's going to be other moving parts. Like, if they're bringing the big four back and Riley and Brody and Muzzin and Gio are back, there's got to be other moving parts with this team, not just goaltending.
For sure, but, you know, again, as you know, we kind of kicked Kyle in the shins, you know, a couple of minutes ago. You do have to look at the good that's been done, and the Giordano deal is exceptional. I can live with the Liljegren deal. You know, it's short term. He has a lot more to prove. 1-4 for some was high. It wasn't high for me. I thought that was fair value. You're banking on the kid. And then you got to look at, you know, bringing Bunting in and Kasha and Kampf. I mean, that's all good work done by Kyle Dubas.
Oh,
but
yeah,
there's a lot more to get done. And there are some contracts that are going to be super, super challenging. So we'll see. I'll tell you what, fellas. I know we got to wrap up here, but the buzz today has been terrific. And not just because of the Fiala trade to Los Angeles. I mean, that's obvious. But there is some stuff, not maybe Toronto specific, but Dubas likes to be involved too, right? And any team that's a cap team has to be willing to be creative. I think we could see some three-way scenarios here around the NHL in the days to come that are going to be fascinating, involving players under contract, maybe really top prospect players, and then the obvious draft picks with the draft looming.
I like to hear it. I want to see it. It'll be great.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of weeks here. Let's see where it goes. Thank you, Dregs. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Have a good night.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. And check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com.